is a gentleman who when we talked about doing this presentation, said to me that he's not much of a public speaker. So how about a conversation that he would have, that he would like to have? So he and I are going to have a conversation. So instead of an evening with Donald Kempinski, it's going to be an afternoon with Tim Murray. So I'm going to take my seat right here next to Tim, and we're going to have a conversation. So ladies and gentlemen, Tim and I are going to just talk, and at some point, we're going to want some cross-conversation. So I'm going to ask for cross-conversation in a second. So Tim, welcome to this side of the pond.
Thank you very much.
You got your mic there.
Is that on?
You're on.
Can people hear me? I don't think mine's working, is it? Is that working?
Oh, it is. And you didn't recognize Mel Brooks, did you, from the producers? I want to be a producer.
Great show, Raj.
Right. So, Tim, at some point you had this vision of writing a script for a movie with a leading character, and I wonder if you could tell me a little about that character, a little about the plot, and a little bit about first Kempinski, sure. And then what drove you.
I was lucky enough to be educated at New York Film School, and I always wanted to write a story in which the city played a kind of a central character in the film. And it might be a lead character was blind, we may be able to see the city from a different perspective. Of course, once I realised that to learn to drive, you have to take some. I mean, I know nothing about what it's like to be blind. I don't know. I'm disabled. I'm ill. But I knew her, and I had to research my subject matter properly. I came over to New York again in late 2008. And around to several agencies. He's at the back of the room there. My head around the subject matter, I tried to understand the psychology, the physical, the ups and downs of a city like New York in particular. And I met lots of wonderful people. I found them all to be very receptive. I found them all to really want this story to and I really listened for a good 6 weeks. And that's, I mean, my research, I've only squarely, but my research has been ongoing ever since. The script is now written, it's cast. It's very nearly financed. We'll be ready to shoot in March of next year. So when you asked me to come here, Carl, I thought, well, first of all, it's an honor, and it's just a great opportunity to carry on with the research.
I flipped my button. So, Tim, in order to learn it, you didn't read any books, like a lot do, and you didn't make any assumptions. I think what you did there is you went out and...
I went out and met blind people. I think that was the best way to learn, I think. I could have read books. I would have probably been bombarded by different philosophies and ideologies, and I would have come away feeling very confused. I wanted to meet people who experience what my character.
So somehow through this network, then Chancey, bless, thank you, Chancey, said, you want to go see this guy over in Brooklyn?
Sure, absolutely. Hey.
And you offered Mindy and me dinner.
I did. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm always up for a free dinner. He told me to pick the restaurant. and he had to convert some more traveler's checks. I said, I'm getting a producer. We're going to a great restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah, the budget of the movie doubled that night.
The budget of the movie doubled.
But no, it was fascinating. It was fascinating meeting everybody. And I remember one of the first things you gave me, Carl, was a copy of Ken Jernigan's banquet speech from 1974, which was entitled Literature is Blindness Against Us. And in that speech, he spoke about the 9 myths of blindness, which I'll just run through quickly. They're the compensatory or miraculous power, total tragedy, foolishness and helplessness, unrelieved wickedness and evil, perfect virtue, punishment for sin, abnormality and dehumanization, purification, symbol and parable. And when I read it, I thought, well, the first 8 I'm pretty confident with. I don't think we're going to fall into that trap. But then I thought, well, symbolism. I mean, as a writer, I had no intention of using this guy's blindness as a symbol for anything other than blindness. But I think as a writer who is writing for, well, you know, for a world audience, and the majority of whom are going to be sighted, how do I stop a sighted audience from reading their own symbolism into it? So that's my concern, I guess. But that's just up to the audience, really. I hope they don't read more into it than is there. It's not a symbol for anything other than his physical disability, and it'll be interesting to see the reaction.
I've read the script. What we have here is a cranky old man who was sighted when he was cranky, and what we have here is a cranky old man who happens to have gone blind.
Yeah.
And so he's dealing. That's it. I mean, I think dealing.
that was very important to me, and that was something really a pattern that developed in all the interviews that I did. Please don't make it up to blindness. He's a man first and foremost. And so that's what that's what I tried to do. I tried to write a story about a man who is really needing to reconcile with his daughter, a guy who needs to tap in himself again, who needs to overcome his pride and stubbornness, and who happens to be blind. And I think because of that, we've done a reasonable job with the script. We didn't research the subject. We didn't try and make it find him as a man.
And I don't think you do. I think it's a fine script. There's a scene in the movie. Remember the Albie the car? Right. The character in this movie used to be a captain for the Staten Island Ferry before he went blind. And he does the Al Pacino small boat. he gets ridden in the East River by taking a boat and a bunch of freighter. Woohoo! Thing.
Yeah.
But that's not the main part of the thing. So we can be blind too. I think you understand disabilities.
Yeah.
I can make the leap in attitudes to someone in a wheelchair.
I understand ignorance.
There you go.
I think perhaps everyone in this room feels handicapped ignorance of disabled issues. I can live a perfectly normal, independent, and understand, and then you feel disabled. I was damned if I was going to be the idiot when writing the script.
Because I don't came to me yesterday. Tim, you arrived at the convention here yesterday in the early afternoon. During the day, and somebody came to me to tell me you were here. I don't immediately recognize the voice of the person. I don't remember the person's voice, so I don't know who said it to me, and I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad I don't know who that was. But someone came to me and said, there's this young fella here looking to meet you. Now, you know, by my standards, Tim is a young guy.
Thank you very much.
You don't call somebody in their 30s this young fella. It was that tone, guys. It was that tone.
Does he take sugar?
Does he take sugar? Right. Does he want to? Tim was telling me that someone was working with him in the city, and Tim had gone out. Tim is equally disabled as I am. We are both nicotine addiction will get the better of us. And they were standing out on the street. Tim was in his wheelchair, and Tim's having a cigarette. And his assistant was berated by a passerby for letting that guy have a cigarette. Now you guys berate me all the time, but that's for a different reason. Now, but having
I just
said
ran
that,
over our toes. I think she got out of hospital about 2 weeks later.
Exactly. I love that. I love that. I have a perfectly happy life until I meet an idiot. Great quote, Tim. I'm going to use it. So. We had determined that this character is going to be blind, and how is he going to be blind? Well, we figured he has to learn how to be blind. Oh. And we decided, where are you going to learn how to be blind? Have you talked about who the lead character is going to be yet? No, you haven't.
Well, it's going to be played by an actor called Tom Sizemore, who's done numerous movies, Saving Private Ryan, Black Hawk Down, Pearl Harbor, True Romance, Heat. But as an actor, he's perfect for the role, but I think also as a man he's perfect for the role because he's been through a lot of things in his own life, personal issues, addiction, bankruptcy. He's really been, you know, I mean, this guy's hit rock bottom, and he understands some of the emotions that our lead character has gone through. He understands pride and how damaging that can be. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to working with him. And one of the things we intend to do is to take Tom out to your center in Louisiana, work with Pam Allen and her team out there. I will be there with him. And to work on a number of different aspects, obviously the orientation and mobility, but then have hopefully roundtable discussions as well about the psychology and
philosophy
and theology and ethics and everything.
All the ologies,
we will cover them all.
Pam is excited about this. We negotiated with Pam about a month ago. And sometime when the weather breaks, well, it never gets bad in Louisiana, but sometime at a time convenient to Tom and Tim and Pam, Tom's going to spend time in Louisiana learning how to be a blind guy.
It's going to take a week of his life.
I said this to Dr. Maurer, gave him a heads up of what was happening, and Dr. Maurer said, well, the movie industry is starting to get it right. I just think this is something that we've gotten in, again, because we're learning to shape our future. People are coming and wanting to know, and if they're going to do it, we need to be there at the beginning of the project, which is what I was referring to earlier with our young people's programs. And now here, beginning of the project, we've been here at the beginning, in the middle, up to the end, because one of the things, when they shoot on the streets of New York, after Tom has been to Louisiana, he wants one of Pam's O&M guys on the set, too, to make sure it's up.
It's very important. I mean, the body language, the change over the course of the film is going to be very and it's little moments like that. If we can keep that tick, then I think we'll make the project stand out.
So folks, this is called An Evening with Don Pinsky. Mostly Tim, I would interview you might have. Laura? Hold on, Mike.
Thank you. I would like to understand now, you're starting off as a crotchety old man.
Yeah, I mean, he's as good as the old man before he went blind, but
yes,
he's now almost got a reason to be.
All right. Now you're a crotchety man blind, and now you're going to take all the necessary training in Louisiana. I mean,
what will I become?
Principle of the story? I mean, are you trying to explain that once you lose your sight, you become a good guy?
No,
or,
you don't.
Or what?
No. Listen, the crux of his story is really about reconciling his relationship with her.
Oh, okay.
The film ends, I don't know whether I should tell you this, but I will. The film ends with him on the steps to his daughter's apartment, someone he hasn't seen in 3 years. Okay. That's his journey. His journey is about finding the father in him. It's about overcoming his own, he has to reconcile with his blindness, but we're not pretending that this guy can do that in one night, but our intention is to see him turn a corner.
Mm-hmm.
So the audience can leave thinking he's in safe hands, that they know he's still got a long journey to go, but that he's at least on the right track now.
What we have here is a character who has all the problems of any other sighted person. Oh,
yes.
And by the way, he's blind. So it is a lot about the reconciliation with his daughter as well.
He's still a crotchety old man at the end, but he's perhaps realized that's not going to get him anywhere, and he's missing his daughter, and that he needs to turn his life around.
And the blindness is one of his characteristics.
I see. And you do become reconciled?
Well, it's left open. Yes, he's made the first move to reconciliation with his daughter at the end of the movie, mm-hmm. So I think we can assume that relationship is going to be rebuilt there. But we don't, we leave him literally standing on a doorstep.
You're a little happier when you leave at the end of the movie than you were at the beginning. Yes, it's got the happy ending. It's not Frankly Scarlet, I Don't Give a Damn. It's a happier ending than that. Other questions? Alex.
Nope,
the mic's coming your way.
Hello.
Hello.
All right, so my question is, being that you've hung out with us, you've chatted with us, your script is complete, right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. So do you think your script kind of does justice to regular, typical blindness and people being blind?
I mean, I'd like to know what typical blindness is. I mean, one of the first things I realized was it's such a limitless subject matter. I mean, what is typical blindness? I approached this subject thinking you're either blind or you're not. One of the first things I realized was no, actually, there are so many different forms of vision loss. Are you talking about from a psychological point of view? I mean, can you rephrase that?
I guess we could go that way. So let's say from a psychological point of view, I mean, just getting around, not just the physical stuff, but kind of the attitude.
The attitude towards blindness.
Towards blindness, and yeah. Then of the blind person.
I think so. I mean, he meets a character in the course of an evening who's a young lady, 23 years old. And she's very, they develop a friendship, that's all it is. It's a father-daughter kind of relationship that they develop. And when she first meets him, she treats him like an idiot. You know, I mean, she treats him like the person I was saying, I don't want to meet. She's ignorant herself. She really represents the audience's point of view, I think. And it's her journey as well. Is just as important as his. So by the end of the movie, she's treating him like a man instead of a blind person. I think, I hope I've got it right. That can please everyone, I don't know. You know, they're the same, are they? I mean, I'm sure I could go around this room and talk to every individual person here, and they'll all have different opinions on what blindness is and how it affects them and how people see them. I try and find feeling.
I think 100 different of them, and I knew people like Donald. I've known people worse than that. Somewhere in this room there is somebody like Donald, and everybody and the whole continuum in this.
Can I ask
one quick follow-up, then I got agent.
So as a director, do you feel then that you should portray him in the correct light, or do you feel that that's up to you?
Portray him
in whatever way you should. In other words, do you feel like your VP is should match, for example, what our organization's blind person?
Well, I think my vision of who he is has been shaped by your organization. That's why I did my research to portray him. So, I mean, that came in the answer to my research. So I hope I've, I think I listened, and I hope I can identify with him.
All right, thanks, Alex. Adrian?
And other blind people. I thought that your script hadn't been written before.
It hadn't been written. I wrote.
Okay. Okay. So you weren't doing your. Did your learning of disability in translating ability from ability to.
I mean, undoubtedly it helped. I think where it helped me was to realize that it was in terms of the research process. And blind. I mean, disabled or not disabled, the human being has emotions. Pride. Stubbornness is stubbornness. You know, the desire to be a parent, and a man, whether he's blind, just kind of way off. I think what my ability brought to the script is a need to try and understand, you know. Look patronized. I know how annoying and upsetting and insulting that can be. I know how I react to that when that happens. And so I put a little bit of that. There's a little bit of me in Donald. It's a difficult question to answer because I don't actually see myself as disabled, really. I just see myself as me. So how my disability has affected the way I wrote this character is perhaps something better. You should probably ask my mother that question.
I love the quote, Tim. You don't see yourself as disabled. No. I don't see myself as disabled either.
Well.
I'm a blind guy. Will, but were you stretching your legs or were you looking for a recognition? Okay. Sorry? Oh, Vicky, okay. I've got time for one last question. So, Vicky.
I'd like to ask a question as well.
Yeah. By the way, Tim is going to be here the weekend. Tim is going to be with us tomorrow. At some point, he's got to get back over to Toronto. But figure the straightest way here was Toronto versus New York City. But having said that, Tim is going to be with us this evening. I think it would really be helpful to engage Tim. He came here to learn more because even though the script is written, while the film is being shot, variations happen. That's what directors are paid for. So please, do what he came here for. Talk to him. I can talk to him anytime. I can text him anytime. Vicky.
Okay. My question is, the relationship between the father and the daughter, it started off bad?
It broke down before he went blind.
Before he went blind.
Yeah.
But does it show maybe more struggle after that? Because I know of family members that once the father or the mother goes blind, how tough it is for them to relate.
Yeah.
So that it makes it tougher for the blind person.
The film, I think the film shows more of the struggle in the relationship with his wife, his now ex-wife. We have references to the breakdown of the relationship with his daughter and his disappointment at her not contacting him after he goes blind. But his blindness did not affect the relationship with his daughter. It did affect the relationship with his wife, however. He pushed her away, ultimately. I'd like to ask a question.
Go ahead, Tim.
I mean, yeah. I guess
Tim,
I'd like
Tim
to
has a question. Go ahead, Tim.
I mean, I guess I'd like to ask people what they would like this film to achieve in the representation of blindness, and what are the main traps we need to avoid falling into so we don't come across as ignorant.
Okay, there is your question. What are the things he needs to avoid? What are the traps that he should avoid falling into to do the job right?
And what, so, I mean, what do you want this film to achieve, mm-hmm. really?
Yep.
An understanding of what the rest of the film is, I mean, in a way. I mean, there's no one set of traps to avoid any more than there is any one story. I mean, you obviously are trying to avoid the trap that blindness is the whole story of this person's life, and avoiding that trap will be important, and yet at the same time, you're making blindness a focus of the film, or a piece of the film that's important. So I think that's hard to know until people see the script. I mean, have blind people looked at the script?
Oh, yes.
Yep, Pam's had it. It's been, I've sent it to Baltimore. It's been seen.
You've read it. Mindy has read it.
Yeah. Yeah. Danielson. I sent it to Pam and Roland and told them to share. So it's been shared around. Oh, cut. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. But you heard the question. I think Tim is asking to engage you guys in conversation through the rest of the weekend. And so in the interest of all a break, in the interest of letting a couple of committees meet, in the interest of myself having my yielding to my weaknesses, Tim, I want to thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for inviting me. Thank you.